and welcome to A Drummer's Guide to, the podcast all about the things that it takes to be a professional musician, aside from actually playing your instrument, which we're going to take as a given, hopefully. It's an ongoing process. It's the blessing, it's the curse of being a creative. I love it. I'd get frustrated by it sometimes, but there we are. So this episode, I would like to address something that has been quite a common theme, actually, for me, that has come up. It's been a common theme growing up, and then it's been a common theme in people getting in touch recently, in particular, sort of in the last few years or so. And it's this idea of, like, what is the easiest way that I can be a professional musician? This is a question that I get asked so much. And as I've sort of, like, said before in past episodes, for me, growing up, it wasn't about what is the easiest way to be a professional musician, but it was like, what is the way? How do I do this? And as I say, there's been multiple people that have got in touch recently saying, what's the easiest way I can do this? And I just thought there was a really interesting idea to talk about, because first of all, I will say is that when I get messages like that, it's a bit of a red flag, I'm not going to lie, because the reality of this industry and just being a creative generally, and if you really want to do this as a living, a creative endeavor, if you like, spoiler alert, well, as far as I'm aware, and in my experience, in all of the professional friendships that I have, or acquaintances that I have, there is no easy way. And you have to be so unhealthily obsessed with this thing that you have to almost be irrational. I know that I certainly have been. I say have been. I am. I am so irrational when it comes to my career, the amount of, you know, time and effort that I put in. But to me, it's normal because it's how it's always been. It was never about what's the bare minimum, because it was just more about just how can I do this and working out a way. So if you're thinking, like, what is the bare minimum that I need to do to make this a career, I've got to be honest, it's not an incorrect way of thinking, but it might be worth just thinking, why am I trying to do the bare minimum? It should be about, I love this thing and I want to find a way. I want to work out a way to do this, because that is the reality. No, if you want to look at my attitude towards this career and how I managed to be sitting here right now in front of you or in your ears right now, if there's one motto that I think sums up the whole of my ability to be able to do this professionally, it is, I'll make it work, or I'll find a way. That is kind of the baseline belief that I have in myself, and it's the stubbornness in me, and it is the just the I refuse to give up. It was never about if I find a way, if this works out. It was just like, it has to, there is no option here. And that's mainly because I've never been any good at anything ever, aside from drumming. And also, I say that now, I have many other skills now because of that, but, you know, growing up, it was just like, no, this is the only thing that I feel like I could be good at. And therefore, that's it. Like, it's not even a question. So when people do reach out to me saying, oh, like, what's the easiest route to get into the music industry? I don't know how it makes you feel right now by hearing that, but it makes me uncomfortable. It makes me very uncomfortable. But in saying that, I try not to hold judgment. Obviously, like, everyone's in their own situation, and by going down that route, it may lead someone somewhere else that is interesting and may lead them to something that they don't want the easy route. They just want to do the thing. And I think, yeah, that in itself is very valuable. Now, in saying this, and as I say, I try not to judge. I really don't. I know inevitably, I'm sure that, I mean, the fact that I'm talking about this tells me that I do have a feeling on it. I don't like that people want to try and find the shortcuts or the quick route to success. There are reasons behind that. But let me start, before I start preaching about that kind of stuff, let me tell you that I fell foul to this way of thinking. And it wasn't for me about the easiest route. It was about the quickest route, definitely. Like, what is the most effective way that I can become a professional musician? It was more about focusing on the right things. And then it was also about looking into like different approaches to learning, to becoming, you know, a master of something. I read a book by Malcolm Gladwell called, I think it was that Outliers? I'm sure it was, where it's this concept of 10,000 hours of something to master it, you know, and that very much was in my head. And I was like, right, how can I get the 10,000 hours? How can I like expedite those 10,000 hours? Which arguably is saying, how can I make this easier for myself? How can I take a shortcut? And like I say, that was when I was in my teenage years, maybe even into my early 20s. So I thought I'd share with you some of the really embarrassing things that I did that were absolutely detrimental to my playing, to my career. And by trying to search for these shortcuts, I actually ended up doing things the long way around by avoiding things that I was trying to avoid, basically. But in saying that, I will also share with you some of the benefits that came from kind of having this, what I deem to be, slightly alternative way of looking at things. Maybe it isn't now, maybe it wasn't at all, but you know, I was kind of, like I say, so stubborn and just like, I'm gonna do it my way. Stubbornness, it is my default setting, unfortunately. So let me tell you about some of the embarrassing things and bad things, like legitimately bad things that were detrimental to not just my playing, not just my career, but actually my well-being. So the first and most like prominent one that I often think about, and I'll tell you for why, because of other factors, is I used to listen to music when I was asleep. So I would always have music playing, and this was kind of like music that I was just trying to internalize. Maybe it was music that I, you know, didn't understand very well, or was just trying to take it on as part of my DNA, not by actively listening to it, not by playing to it, not by, you know, not by all the things that a logical person would do. I wanted the shortcut, and I, in my head, this was my logic. Well, when I sleep, you know, that's kind of wasted time. So if I could even subconsciously be taking on some of this music, maybe it would lead me to, you know, this internalized rhythm and, you know, vibe and soul and feel. Sorry, if you're listening to this, I'm rolling my eyes at myself right now. It's just unbelievable. So yeah, that was my logic. However, do you know what actually happened when I would do that? And I did this for a long time, like every night. But what would happen instead is that, and I was listening to it like on headphones or maybe on a speaker very close to me at very low levels. It was something about, you know, like I say, subconsciously taking it on. So it didn't need to be loud. It didn't need to be obvious, but forget about all that. What that meant was I was not sleeping properly, which meant that I was exhausted all of the time, which meant that my whole life suffered. And side note, right, this is giving you an insight into some other stuff that I'm really intrigued by and fascinated by and really, oh, it's awful. I have this very strange fascination with cults and how they come about and just what happens to create that environment. And one of the biggest things is that cult leaders will often deprive their members, potential members, whatever, of food, so they're malnutritioned, but also of sleep. It is like those two things are two of, in all the different things that I've looked at and studied and whatever, those two things seem to be a common theme throughout. And the reason for that is it means that you're so drained and exhausted and, you know, hungry and all of that, that you're more susceptible to extreme ideas. Now, that is just an aside that I find really interesting. There are multiple reasons that I'm fascinated by cults. I have been for a long time. I have new vested interest in it from the last few years, which I won't go into, not in this episode, probably not ever actually, but if there's a few people listening that will know exactly what I'm talking about, and we've all got our fingers crossed, but yes, sorry, that's a bit cryptic, isn't it? Ooh. Anyway, it's fine. But anyway, I just, you know, looking back at the fact that I was depriving myself of sleep, and the fact that that can lead to extreme behaviour and extreme suggestion, which would also suggest that you're not of your right mind if you don't have sleep. I also recently read a book called Why We Sleep, which I think I've spoken about before. And that, again, it cites a lot of scientific evidence of how important sleep is. So by trying to do this shortcut of like, I'm going to internalize this subconsciously, but I'm not going to have to actually do anything. And sleep, what is sleep? Nobody needs sleep. And also we are very much in a grind culture of like, oh, sleep for 3 hours a night and then be working for 21 hours a day. No, like, by doing that, you're actually putting yourself on the back foot. And actually, it's incredibly detrimental to... forget about work, forget about career, just your general health. Like, they've linked lack of sleep to higher levels in dementia, into early death, into like so many things that, you know, it's so not worth it. Plus, sleep is awesome. So I love sleep. I had a very deep sleep last night. I woke up and I was very confused. Today is Tuesday. I thought it was Saturday. I thought it was late for my boxing class. I was like, whoa! And I'm like, wow, I couldn't be more far off. It is Tuesday. But anyway, so that was one of the things. And again, would not recommend. Would not. Just sleep. Please sleep. Sleep lots. And then another thing that I used to do was I tried to learn how to do speed reading. And that was, so speed reading visually, which I'll be honest, I'm not great at reading. Like, I can read, obviously. But yeah, like visually, I find reading quite, I think I have mild dyslexia, basically. So I find it quite difficult to read quickly. But anyway, I tried that for a while, which again, I put in all this time and energy to this thing to save time. I would listen to audiobooks on like double speed to try and get through them quicker. And that's the point. It was all this thing of just trying to get through things to get the information. But there is virtue in fact, not even virtue, it's essential to take those ideas on and to let them settle and to let yourself think about them. Like, forget about just being told information. I think, again, this is, in fact, I'm just thinking about this. I've been studying about attachment styles. Now, sorry, this is a whole thing. So do I go into this? I don't have a huge amount of knowledge on this, but basically people have different attachment styles, and it sort of affects your relationships with other people, and it comes from basically childhood and how you're brought up and your relationship to your primary caregivers, and yeah, how that then relates. Why did I start going into this? Yes, because I'm someone, so basically you can have either, well, not either, there's a few different attachment styles. There's anxious attachment, which means that you kind of need external validation or guidance for what you're doing. It's very difficult to look within to find your own kind of sense of self and direction. Then you have avoidant attachment style, which is kind of the opposite of that, where you're very much, you disconnect from people, you don't like letting people get too close, you don't want to rely on anyone, you're kind of there. And then there's disorganized attachment, I can't remember, basically it's a combination of the both, which I think I might be a combination of the both, sort of overall. Like, for instance, in career, I think I'm very much avoidant attachment. In personal relationships, I think I'm anxious attached. Sorry, this has gone down a whole thing. But the reason that I say that is that because of that, I think I was, and actually maybe I was anxious attached, because I would often be looking always even to this day, really, a lot of the time, looking to other people, other people's experiences, other people's education, information for the answer to what I should be doing, how I should be concentrating on stuff. And therefore, I thought that the more information that I had in my brain, the better I would be, like the better career I would have, the better I would be at my job, rather than actually cultivating my internal skill sets, my internal like guidance, I suppose, in what I should be doing. Even though, yes, I think obviously there's virtue in finding out from other people what they have done to kind of like inform where you should be focusing your attention. It's part of the reason that I do this podcast, obvs. But I never gave credence to taking that information and then sitting with it and questioning it and thinking, is this right for me? Or, you know, is this the best way forward? Does this feel right to me? Or does this not? And I often found myself in situations where I would be reading something or I would be trying to do something that would physically feel painful to me because it felt so incongruent with who I was as a person. And at the time, I didn't know that's what that was. I thought it was just, you know, you've just got to push through the pain, you've just got to ignore how you're feeling about it. You know, this is what successful people do, so I should be doing it. Should is one of the worst words in the flipping English language, can I just say as well. Should, I think it should be illegal. I think it should. I think it should be illegal. Anyway. Yeah, so as I say, I kind of became obsessed with with trying to take on as much information as possible. And again, this fed into this sort of exhaustion narrative. I say narrative, I mean, it wasn't a narrative, it was a biological result of me not resting. Any downtime I had, I would be listening to audiobooks, like I say, on double speed, sometimes even faster, even to the point that I wasn't actually aware of what the author was saying or the narrator was saying. I thought that by just listening to it, I'd be able to take it on subconsciously, sorry. And but again, it just led to this exhaustion, this burnout. Not only that, I didn't know what in the world I was listening to. And plus, even if it was being taken on subconsciously, right, that's not great, because yeah, one person might say something, it doesn't make it true, it doesn't make it the be all and end all. It might actually be incredibly detrimental. They might actually have an ulterior motive. You know, it's just, it's this wild thing that I think back and I just think, why was I not taking the time? And it was this desperation, I think, of just trying to find the best route through. And I, you know, arguably, yes, a shortcut. And again, I just would not recommend it at all, even slightly. Another thing that I would do is, again, and this leads into this, or this is part of this exhaustion thing, I would sort of create this very extreme environment for myself for no other reason than I thought that I had to go through an extreme process to be able to do this. Almost like, I think I felt I was undeserving of this career, and therefore I had to punish myself to get to a point of being a professional drummer. And what I mean by that is, okay, I've already told you about the fact that I wouldn't let myself properly sleep. I was constantly bombarding myself with information. In terms of like practice routines, I would set out like 8-hour practice routines, you know, down to like, maybe not down to the minute, but I would, you know, make sure that there was something that I could track on my progress, that I could make sure that everything was planned out very meticulously. You know, even if I was exhausted or feeling unwell or whatever, I would still make sure that I was in that rehearsal room for 8 hours, and I would make sure that I practiced all the things that I was meant to practice. And like I say, sometimes I would feel physically sick, and yet I would persevere. And inevitably, of course, the next day when I planned to do this same 8-hour rigmarole again, I would wake up so exhausted because I'd been listening to goodness knows what, some jazz, fusion, funk, in 15, 16, who knows? You know, because I'd done that all night, I was not, you know, I was not in a good state of mind. I would drive to a rehearsal room. I would be listening to an audiobook, you know, just constant input, constant stimulation, no rest time, and constantly just punishing myself, even down to what I would allow myself to eat, which, again, it's a cult thing. I was trying to join my own cult. So yeah, like I would not allow myself to eat. Well, it was partly because I couldn't afford to eat particularly well, but I would just be very simplistic in what I would allow myself to eat. Just so restrictive, so unkind, so harsh on myself. I almost feel upset with how I used to treat myself. Like it's not great. It's not great. I never valued any sort of rest time because I felt I didn't deserve it. I you know, and I should suffer to be able to do, to have the privilege of being able to do this as a living. I would need to suffer to get there. And arguably still to this day, I still feel an element of guilt with the fact that I get to do this as my career. And I do still work myself too hard. I definitely do. I've gotten better, but there is this element of like, I don't deserve this. Why do I deserve to do this when there's musicians out there, there's drummers out there that are way more talented than me. You know, and anyway, this is a whole thing. I think it's something that I've been working through, will continue to work through for a very long time. But at the time it was this thing of like, and arguably maybe that wasn't a shortcut, but that was a punishment for myself. Another shortcut that I definitely tried to use in every which way possible was that I tried to progress as a musician and to expand my network of professional connections as best I could without actually having any human contact. Now, this was down to I had a lot of social anxiety when I was younger. I still do a little bit in very specific situations. In fact, I told you about one of them in the hot cross bun episode. So yeah, anything outside of a professional environment or adjacent to that, I find difficult still to this day. Like it's just one of those things. But at that time, I was like, right, how can I do this with as little human contact as possible? So that was down to, right, I will not ask anyone for help. Now, that's partly to do with social anxiety. It's also partly to do with I didn't want to look stupid. I didn't want to look like I wasn't a professional. I didn't want to look like I didn't know what I was doing. So that was one of the things. Another thing was networking. Right, I'll do all my networking online. I'll just send emails. I'll just reach out on social media later on. And you know, this just mad concept of, you know, not actually having to be face to face with any humans. Same with playing music. I would play to records rather than actually be in a room with people. Now, let me state there are benefits to doing all these things, but you cannot be in this industry without actually connecting with people, connecting with humans face to face. And there is no way around it. This is a collaborative industry. So I really do find my past self hilarious in that, and the extent that I would not want to interact with people. It's insane. I mean, look, maybe I should put it down to I was obviously very sleep deprived, so it probably wasn't helping with any sort of social anxiety and any ways that I was actually approaching all this. But crikey O'Reilly, yeah, just all I could say is maybe not the single best thing you can do, but certainly top two. No, you know what it is reach out to people, be in touch with people. You've got to create those relationships, and you can't do it over an email. You can't do it over an Instagram message. You can start that way, maybe, but you've got to be out there actually spending time with people, getting to know them, developing relationships, proper relationships. You know, it's just, it's hilarious to me that people feel that they can create a career by being isolated. It's I mean, unless you know something I don't, I see it as being near impossible. Like, it just doesn't make sense. You know, playing music, you're always going to be playing with other people. Always. Even if it's remotely and they're not in the room with you, you still need to understand how to connect with people and communicate with people. And the best way to do that is to actually go and meet them. And as my dad said, go and shake hands. Nothing beats going into a room and shaking hands with people. It's true. It's true. You know, I know that it's a normal reaction to not listen to your parents, but I would have saved so much turmoil by just listening to what they had to say. But I was too busy being stubborn and going, I know best. Yeah, okay, 14-year-old Emily, sure you do. Sure, all that life experience, eh, whilst you're still living at home, still relying on, you're very much reliant on other people. Your brain is not fully formed, and hormones are flying everywhere. So 14-year-old Emily, you have no idea what you're talking about. Just go do the thing. Go do the thing. Anyway, so those are some of the really extreme and negative things that I got through trying to find shortcuts into this industry. And as I say, it wasn't about finding the easiest route. Crikey, if anything, I was creating a more difficult route for myself, sometimes intentionally, sometimes not intentionally. So, but in terms of shortcuts, nah. But what I will say is that by having this attitude of, you know, I want to find, and for me, do you know what, it wasn't about, no, I was about to lie. When I was younger, yes, it was about shortcuts. Yes, it was. It was about finding the quickest route through. Now, or after that, to this day, it's about finding the most effective way through to whatever I'm trying to do. And that can range from, you know, the drumming side of things to all the other bits and bobs that I do in my life, even in my personal life. What is the most effective way? And sometimes it is harder work, like more work up front, but in the long term it can be worth it. Sometimes it's not, and I do the hard work up front and then it's still even harder because it takes even longer and all that sort of stuff. That's fine. It's all just part and parcel of it. However, what I will say is that there are a few things that I learnt through this process of trying to find shortcuts that actually have aided me in ways that they are the reason that I'm able to do this and so effectively, I suppose. And like I say, it's not perfect. I'm not perfect. There's still plenty of things that I need to work on. But so one of the things that I'll just run you through a few of them, but one of the things that I realized was really useful in terms of trying to find shortcuts was researching people that had already done what I was trying to do, which I did by reading biographies, by reading interviews in magazines. Obviously now we've got a plethora of like interviews on like YouTube and places like that, social media, all of that. Like, people are so much more open and willing to share their experience. And what I would do with this information is this thing called modeling. And I'm not talking about modeling like pictures, no. But what I do mean is noticing what that person did or does, or the way that they think, or the way that they see things, to set them up for success, whether that be in a resilient way, whether that be in whatever way you need it to be. And what I will say also is that rather than just focusing on one person's kind of way of doing things, because I'm very much against having sort of heroes and only like blindly following a single person. I think it's dangerous. Again, this goes back to cults. Everything goes back to cults. Yeah, I don't believe in blindly following one person. However, what I found useful was researching a few different people that I admire what they do, whether that be their playing or their career or just their mindset or whatever, and finding the common themes within that, and then applying it to my own life. And I very much did that with drumming. The common theme that I found was that the guys that were most successful were the ones that were just doing it day in and day out, working day in and day out. And how I applied that to myself was that I spent my days like playing or working as if I was already doing the thing, so that I got into this routine of doing it. And it was almost like the work side of it was irrelevant. I was already living my life like I was a professional, you know, and that wasn't just playing wise, that was working out, that was, you know, how I ate. I was setting myself up so that I would be ready, or as ready as I thought I could be, for an opportunity, that opportunity that came in. And to a degree it worked. You know, when I first started doing stuff, I kind of was conditioned a little bit into what was expected of me. And again, this was mainly from myself, because obviously different musicians, different artists, they tour in very different ways. They all have very different bars that they set in their own kind of work ethic, their own health, how they live their life, all of that sort of stuff. But what it was about for me, it was how I wanted to present, how I wanted to, you know, live my life within a professional context and all of that sort of stuff. So what I realized was, you know, if I just start living in that way first, then, you know, when things happen, I'll already be halfway there. And it really worked. It really did. And to a degree, I still kind of employ that way of researching different ways of seeing things, finding common themes, finding common threads, and just going, huh, well, that's interesting. And that is one of my favorite phrases also. That's interesting, because I like being curious about the things that connect people, whether that be just in a human kind of way, or whether that be in a kind of success, if you want to call it that way, or just striving and growing and all that sort of stuff. I think it really fascinates me, the patterns that come up in that respect. So anyway, that was something that I really, really benefited from, was kind of just developing this skill of researching, modeling behavior, and then taking that forward into my own life. Very useful. Yeah, very useful. I'm not sure I would recommend it, but I'm just saying I found it useful. Another thing that I learned about myself through this trying to find shortcuts was how I learn best as well. As I mentioned before, I learned that reading printed books, I find difficult. There's a lot of friction that comes with that for whatever reasons. I'm not even sure what those reasons are, to be honest. Like I said, maybe mild dyslexia, I don't know. I'm not going to start self-diagnosing, because I don't see the point in that right now, but all I know is that the end result is reading is not something, it's something I enjoy and I will do as a recreational thing. However, if I'm trying to learn information, no, reading visual is just like not the one for me. However, I learned that listening to audiobooks really works for me. I also learned that listening to audiobooks whilst moving, whilst walking, really, really works for me. So that's really great for me. Equally, in terms of like learning how to play songs, like learning songs, weirdly, I learned that a visual representation of that song, i.e. in a roadmap style chart, really works for me. So I just got really good at doing that. And I learned that that is the quickest way. And again, maybe this is a shortcut. That is the quickest way for me to learn a song. That is the way that I can rely on myself to learn a song really well, and to be able to execute my job in a more effective way. And again, it's about being effective. We only ever have so much time in a day, and forget about time. We only ever have so much energy in a day. I certainly have. I've really gone to the extremes of that, as I've told you. It's kind of like, I know that I have limits. I have major limits. When I hit my energy empty wall, that's it. I'm done. Like, there's no like, oh, I'll just do. No, I physically can't. So I need to make sure that all the energy that I do use is maximized in the way that I feel is best. So I know that writing charts is the best way to do that. I also know that if I have the time, then, you know, listening to stuff first and playing along to stuff and recording myself and listening back, that is how I learn best. So that's something else that I learned, how I learn best. Another one that I did as well as a shortcut, if you like, but actually is very, very beneficial to me, is visualization. So, and a lot of athletes do this. Again, this is me and my research. A lot of athletes do this, where they will basically visualize the perfect performance of their sport. I think it's obviously, if you're in a group sport, it's more difficult. But like, for instance, Michael Phelps is a really good example that is cited a lot, of him kind of visualizing every stroke that he takes, and, you know, in the pool, and anyway, and obviously he's very good at what he does. But I employed that tactic, and I feel like I just want to be cringing at myself. I remember distinctly when I was living with this singer, I don't know why that's relevant, it's really not. I remember sitting on my bed and visualizing, I would listen to John Mayer's albums, and I would visualize playing on stage with him and his band at the time, which was, JJ Johnson was on drums, but obviously I was in JJC. I love JJ so much. And then it was De La on bass, and then it was David Ryan Harris on guitar. And I remember, I think it was Bob Reynolds and stuff was in the band at that time. But anyway, I remember distinctly sitting on my bed and just visualizing playing a gig with John Mayer and everyone, all the musicians turning around and, like, you know, being all really happy and grooving and all that sort of stuff. So that was my visualization of, like, maybe one day. And hey, I'm not saying that might not happen at some point, and I would be open to it. But what I learned was that that is a really beneficial thing to do. So I often will do that when I'm coming into new situations where I'm feeling anxious about stuff and my brain is going down a route of the worst case scenario and, you know, just feeling very insecure. I will use that visualization to do exactly what I used to do, which is imagine being in the room, imagining all the people that are going to be in that room, playing the music whilst I'm listening to it, and then visualizing them really happy, us all really enjoying it, being really relaxed, and all that sort of stuff. And it really helps. I did it, I definitely did it for the Voice Kids, because that was a really anxiety-inducing situation the first time walking into that room. But I just, whenever I would feel really anxious about it, I would just start visualizing it and it would settle me. And I think it did help. I choose to believe that it helped. Maybe it didn't, but I choose to believe that it did, and I will continue to do that. It's also how I make sure that I know what I'm doing. You know, even when I was, you know what, I'm thinking about this. Actually, even when I was really young, so Young Drummer of the Year just happened this weekend, which is a competition held over in the UK by Mike Dolbear. I did this competition when I was 15, and I remember even then, like, basically what happens is you get up, you do a 2-minute solo, I think it is, and then you play with a band, and then there's another bit where you go and meet the judges and just chat to them and whatnot. There's, like, I think there were 12 different contestants when I was doing it, I think, and basically somebody wins. Spoiler alert, I didn't win, but I tell you what, I made some amazing friends that day. And anyway, I remember being 15, obviously, and I remember every night before I went to sleep, I would play through my drum solo in my head to make sure that I knew every note, every inch of it, that I could do my best. I don't think I was aware enough to think about feeling relaxed about it, but maybe by virtue of doing it before you go to sleep, maybe, well, either that would make me feel more relaxed or about solo, or it would not help my sleep and I'd be a bit anxious going to sleep. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The point is, I've been doing that for a long time. I think I just didn't really realize it. But again, in trying to find these shortcuts, I happened across this visualization technique as a conscious thing to do. Yeah, I think there's benefits to trying to find these shortcuts. And like I say, there's something about this easy route that really grates on me, because it's not easy. It's never going to be easy, and it's not about that. It's what are you willing to work for? Do you know what? That has been, since the second I sat down on the drums, it was, I want to do this. But actually, it was, I'm going to find a way to do this. It was never about, like, the ease of the situation was, it just never factored into it for me. It really, really didn't. So I wonder if you're trying to think about the easy solution to anything, maybe that's an indicator of something. Maybe it's just worth thinking about. I don't know. Maybe it's not. And maybe I'm thinking too hard and thinking too deep on it. But what I will say also, because I've seen this as well, to a degree, because you have to do the hard work. But sometimes people do find a bit of success through using these shortcuts. And what happens when that happens is that, unfortunately, because they haven't done that hard work up front, because they haven't built those foundations, it makes it very shaky when things go wrong, if something threatens that identity of success. I am a successful musician. If something threatens that, say you lose a gig, because those foundations aren't solid, it might send you somewhere really, well, potentially dangerous, but, you know, somewhere not great. And I don't want that for you, obviously. And yes, it's more hard work up front. But for instance, me, there's some stuff I'm going through at the moment. And I truly believe that if I lost everything right now in this moment, I'd be sad, I'd be really sad, it would be devastating. But I truly believe that I could create anything from zero again, because I have those skills, I have that resilience. I know that it would be a lot of hard work, and there's about to be a lot of hard work for me coming up. But I truly believe that to my core, that I can create things, because I know that I can, because I've done it before and I'll do it again. And there's real comfort in that. There's real strength in that. And as someone who is very insecure in a lot of ways, and as someone who would never, like, I'm not one to toot my own horn. It makes me uncomfortable even thinking about it. You know, I feel very lucky that I get to do what I do. I think, you know, yes, I've worked hard, but there is a huge amount of luck that has been involved in my career, in my life. Definitely. And yeah, there is. But so therefore, I try not to be like, oh, look how great I am. I don't think I'm great at all. I think I'm lucky. But I also do know that I can create, and I can rely on myself. I think that's what it is. It's self-reliance. I know that I can rely on my skills to progress and to go to wherever I choose to go, whatever I choose to obsess over and fixate on and create, I will be able to do it, and I will find a way. Again, I will find a way. We're kind of round robin here. We're doing a closed circle. So anyway, I just think it's very important to not take those shortcuts, so that you can have a solid foundation, and when things go wrong, because they will, everything goes wrong, everything ends, well, not, sorry, that sounds so pessimistic, everything ends, that is true, everything ends in one way or another, and I think if you can then pick yourself back up and just know that you can move forward, there is so much endless power in that. And again, it doesn't make it easy, but there is solace there, there is definitely solace there. And and I want that for you, I really do, I want that for everyone. But I want to leave you with this thought, because the reason that I decided to do this episode is that I was talking to a few people yesterday, and they were saying, there's this saying that's happening, that everyone's sort of saying, the younger generations, I'm sounding really old right now, this concept of work smarter, not harder. Now, I buy into this slightly, I do. But I would like to adapt this saying, because, again, it promotes this idea of shortcuts. It promotes this idea of not building your own foundations to kind of look after yourself, essentially. So I would like to change it, please, if you don't mind. I would like to say, work smarter and work harder. Surely that is the way to do this. I don't know. That's just my thoughts on it. But anyway, I'm going to love you and leave you on that note. I hope that you're having a lovely day. If you've enjoyed this, please do feel free to like, share and subscribe. Also, leaving a review of this podcast really, really helps with getting out there to other people. I'd super appreciate it. If you wouldn't mind, that would be awesome. Also, I should have said at the top of the episode, but I keep forgetting, thank you to all the Patreon subscribers who are supporting this episode and make it possible for me to keep doing this and, you know, spreading my random thoughts and experiences and sharing my embarrassing former selves actions and experiences. So yeah, if you would like to also be a part of that, those wonderful people for whom I'm eternally grateful, although I can't speak, you can go to patreon.com/EmilyDrums. That's patreon.com/EmilyDrums. Thank you again to you guys. And then if you also would like to see any other random things that I get up to in my professional life, you can go to emilydrums.com. I'm doing a lot of one-on-one mentoring, coaching with people at the moment, which I'm loving so much. It is possibly the most fulfilling thing that I do at the moment. So if you're interested in that, you can inquire over there. So yeah, emilydrums.com. Anyway, have a wonderful day wherever you are, whatever you're up to, and I will see you next time for another subject. All right, lots of love to you. Bye.